Dearest Lord, we realize that it is your breath in our lungs with which we can breathe in and out and we can pour out our praises. Your word has reminded us that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I pray that let me remember the breathing in and breathing out, Father Lord. Without the need of a ventilator, without oxygen tanks on our side, we can stand here and breathe and know that you are the one who has breathed the breath of life in us, Father. We owe everything to you. This morning we stand before you and we acknowledge that you are our sustainer. You are our Lord. You are our keeper. You are the one who is providing for us. You are everything to us, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, for the next few minutes as we sit before your word, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Enlighten us and help us to know the truth. Let the truth set us free. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team, for that wonderful time of worship that the Lord has given us. This morning I want to continue in where we stopped the last time. As you all know, we are doing in the book of Acts, and last Sunday we took a slight detour because we want to finish up the study series on hearing the voice of God. We are coming back to the book of Acts, and this morning I would like to let you all know that the book of Acts is very, very real. It is not like a fictitious story. It is real life. And today we are going to speak about how to overcome challenges in a growing church. There are challenges. As we serve God, it is not all going to be very smooth. There are going to be challenges. In fact, I'll tell you, in every church there are pessimists who see difficulty in every opportunity. If you ask something, you tell people, they will say, oh, how we cannot do it. You know, they will think about ways how you cannot move forward. It's all pessimism. But a believer who believes in the Lord should look at every opportunity, in every, even every difficulty that you have. I know some of you had setbacks last week. I know that. And the Holy Spirit is reminding me to tell you that there is an opportunity. Even with the setbacks, everything does not happen sometimes to our expectations and you feel disappointed. But I want to tell you that God loves you. And if you love God, you are called according to His purpose. All things work together for them in that purpose. So the church in the book of Acts was being used by God as a springboard. You know, they were growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 6. We are going to read a few verses. Actually, we are going to look at the first 7 verses of Acts chapter 6. As we look about how to overcome the challenges in a growing church. Now, in those days when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in its daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over the business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. As the book of Acts continue to speak about the church that started, there arose a problem. I truly believe that problems are actually growing pains. You know, we all, when we were growing up, there was problem. When you're a child, a baby, you start teething, there is a pain. There is a growing pain. When you are a child, you learn how to walk, you fall down, you slip, you hurt yourself, there are growing pains. When you try learning a bicycle, there is sometimes you fall. There are pains in learning to walk. It's a process of maturing and growing. And this is called growing pains. Do you know that when you are born into the family of God as a baby, your spiritual milk is the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as when you are newborn, you know, when you are right out of your mother's womb, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Our inner man starts growing from the day that you accept Christ. And then we start having growing pains in our spiritual as much as in the physical world. And sometimes we stumble, we hurt ourselves. Families that are growing, they also have growing pains. And a church that is growing definitely has some growing pains. This is what happened in the early church. There was a great growth that started, but there was also some problem. So today I want to give you basically four leadership facts to overcome challenges in a growing church. When I speak about leadership facts, you can also use that in your personal life, in your family. If you are a people leader in your workplace, you can use these principles, which are very, very universal and something that we can learn from what happened in the book of Acts in the first century. The leadership fact number one is that when there is spiritual life, there will be growth. Number one, when there is spiritual life beaming, there will be growth. Now, Acts chapter 6 verse 1 starts like this. Now, in those days, I mean, what were the days? They were the days of revival, the days of spirituality. Those were the days it says that the disciples were multiplying. Disciples were multiplying. Do you know that the word changes? If you turn a few pages back to Acts 2:47, it was saying that the Lord added to the churches those that were being saved. From the addition, now we come to multiplication. They have started multiplying. And it is like growing in leaps and bounds, growing in numbers. So every church that is growing, that is should have basically all kinds of growth. You know, there is nothing wrong in a small church. There is nothing wrong, and there is nothing very great in a big church also. I'm telling you, for me, from some years, I've looked at church in a very different aspect. It is a place where meeting gather, people gather together. But a church should be a place where we all need to grow. Every one of you need to grow as we grow together in a church. And as a church grows, there will be new souls that are coming, because our mandate is to reach and to share the good news and bring souls to the Lord. That is what we have been told to do. I'll give you an illustration. One artist was commissioned to paint a picture of a dead church. So the people who thought he is going to paint is with a roof sagging, weeds in the yard, upholstery tattered, carpet all broken down. But do you know what he painted? He painted a gorgeous building, fresh paint, sparkling windows, wonderful carpet, elegant looking, moderate size crowd, everything he painted. But then when the person examined, he said, "This does not look like a dead church to me." And then the person said, "Look closer into the picture." So when they looked closer into the picture, what they saw was there was cobwebs in the baptistry. There were cobwebs, which means there was time enough for the spider to create big cobwebs, because the baptistry has never been used. New people have not taken water baptism. You know, it's a picture of a church that is not multiplying. A church will either glow and grow, or it will die and it will dry down and it will die down. So unless we evangelize each one of you, I don't know why The Holy Spirit is tying everything together today. If you have were there in the Bible class today, from that onwards, we have been going through what the Lord wants to speak to all of us. Unless we evangelize, we will fossilize and we cannot stand still. We have to grow. It's only by movement that we can grow. So here, when we are growing in this church, there is a growth, but it is not automatic. We have to plan for it. We have to pray for it. We have to work for it. We have to cultivate it. We have to water it. You will want it to grow. First of all, you inside of your heart, you should want it to grow. It is just like very crude terms. Let me tell you, like a couple who got married. Just imagine both the husband and wife don't want children. They don't want it to grow. So the family will never grow. They both must agree on this one thing. We want our family to grow. God bless the first family, said be fruitful and multiply. Unless two physical people say we want our family to grow, it will not grow. It will be stunted there. And it will be just the two of us. Unless each of us desire to for the church to grow, all of us, the church will not grow. There has to be a passion for the lost people. There has to be a burden for the people who are lost. And spiritual growth is a product of spiritual life. And numerical growth is a product of spiritual growth. So I think that is also God's plan for our church. My vision is very big. I don't know what you think about it. You may be happy with few people coming. And it's not a few or many. But I would like the church to be growing. I would like people who are in darkness to be touched with the gospel and their lives to be turning. This has been my vision for the church. And unless each and every one of you join with me in this great vision, we cannot achieve it. I'm telling you, let me confess one thing. I cannot do anything on myself. I cannot. I am just one person. But God has allowed me to, as a spiritual leader, to give out the vision of the church. This church is to attract the people in darkness into the light. We are a lighthouse placed in this place, not to just enjoy ourselves, have a good time and praise the Lord, glory to God and go back, not caring for the people that God is caring for. Jesus did not come to save a few. He wants everybody to repent and be saved. This is God's agenda for the universe, for our world. And unless we join in that agenda, you know, we, whatever, praise the Lord and all that, one day we will, God will say, what was your praising me for that? I mean, you never did what I wanted from you. You never even had a desire for you to come and be used as a soul winner. Let me tell you very frankly, I cannot be more blunt than that. Each of you, God has designed to be a soul winner. If God had wanted, he would have got the angels to share the good news. Like Gabriel came to Mary and said, this is the good news. And the angels started worshiping in the heavens. No. He said, I am going to give to my people the desire to go and make disciples. Go and share the gospel. Each of you are a part of God's plan for God's growth of his kingdom. That is how the kingdom of God can grow. And that is what I will tell you today. This is our whole responsibility. All of us have to be desiring on that. And so when we see here, Acts 6 verse 1 says, those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, they started multiplying, you know, because the church started growing, because there was a healthy life in the church. But that's one good thing. So where there is spiritual life, there is growth. The second leadership fact I will tell you now, when there is great growth, there are also growing pains. You know, when there is growth, there are problems that will come. Don't be surprised when there are problems that happens. We continue to read on that verse 1. It says, those days when the number of people, disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint, or in other, the real translation is murmuring. There arose a murmuring, you know. Murmuring is following multiplication. And murmuring is a terrible thing. It's not good. What were these people murmuring about? So this is the story. There were a section of people who were feeling neglected. Who were they neglected? This was the widows who spoke the Greek language. They were neglected in the daily food distribution. You all remember the church had common fund and everybody was given out of that fund. But somehow, these widows who spoke Greek language, they got neglected. They were not counted. When the things were passed around, their names were not called. And there came a murmuring. And so, they felt that they were overlooked and they were neglected. And these Greek widows, now talk about widows. These were people who had no other means of support. So, they depended upon the church to support them. And they felt the church is not taking care of them. Now, there is nothing wrong in having the needs met. But this is not to say this is a problem. Because the problem is, they started murmuring. They started speaking in their breath and not bringing out the problem for resolution. They began to murmur. And when God starts his church to multiply, the devil will try to get it to divide. So now there is a divide between the Hebrew widows and the Greek widows. They're bringing about a division for whatever reason. And I'm telling you, even today, that is what Satan tries to do. Whenever he sees things going good, he will bring something to divide. Because he does not like to see the church growing. And so and that's why I want to give an advice today to all of you. Can you please listen to me? Please listen. Do not murmur. Do not murmur. Philippians chapter 2:14 says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Please do not murmur, because murmur would lead to disputing, and disputings will lead to divisions. Murmuring is a horrible sin. You know, if you are murmuring, you are actually speaking against God, because the Bible says in everything we have to give thanks to God. You cannot murmur and you cannot give thanks to God at the same time. The Bible says his praise should be continually in our lips, and we cannot praise God while we murmur at the same time. As James has said, you cannot have two different kinds of water coming out of the same pipe. We cannot do both of it. We either praise God or we murmur, but murmuring is not good. What is murmuring anyway? It is a half-uttered, half-concealed complaint when a person comes out and says to the wrong person at the wrong time for the wrong reason that something needs to be done. Maybe the need is legitimate, but the way you speak about it, it's called gossiping. You speak to somebody else about somebody else, that is called gossiping. If you have a problem, the Bible says, go to that person, tell him about the problem. That is the biblical resolution, the way that you solve things. You don't speak about somebody to somebody else. That is the devil using you to bring murmuring and division in the church. You know, and when we murmur, we are murmuring against God. I'm telling you, Bible has spoken about this. If you note down Exodus chapter 16 verse 8, the people of Israel murmured in the time of Moses. And Moses replies to them and says, the Lord heard your murmurings or complaints that you have made against him. When we complain, we are complaining against God. And that, you know, so let me tell you, children, don't murmur against your parents. You know, you are at workplace, don't murmur against your boss or against your employer. Students, don't murmur about your teachers. Don't speak something derogatory about them. And if if you murmur against your pastor, you are murmuring against God. Because this is what you are doing. You are telling God, you are not doing right. This man is not doing what is right. It's not a way to address a problem. So Bible says, do all things without murmuring. Just don't do it. Let me bring to you the seriousness of murmuring, okay? We think some sins are big sins, some sins are small sins. But the Bible has a different viewpoint. Please turn with me. We are going to read this verse together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are going to read from verses 7 to 10. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 7 to 10. Where God is ranking murmuring or complaining with idolatry, fornication, and tempting God. This is what the word of God says. Do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain or murmur, as some also complained and or murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. You know, four big sins God is bringing out here: idolatry, fornication, tempting God, but murmuring is also on the same lines as we are doing all these things. God destroyed them because they murmured. Do not murmur. If you have any problem, take it to God first, and also take it to the person if you can reach out to that person directly. So this was a problem that grew in the church. It was not a doctrinal problem. It was a functional problem. And something which was very fundamental that could be solved was made into a big issue. And so it was about being served. Some people were ignored. But let me tell you, even though in a healthy church there is growth, where there is growth, there are problems. So anything that moves with friction, you know that you need to maintain it. Anything that is moving. If a church is growing, it is moving and there are growing pains. So here comes the number three, the fact of leadership. When there are growing pains, there are God-given solutions for those growing pains. God will give wonderful solution. You don't have to step back or run away or say, from tomorrow I'm not coming to your church, I'm going to go somewhere else, you know. All that threatening and all that, who are you making to God? You know, God, you're saying, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to go there. God says, this is all mine. Where are you going? You're going from one of my house to another house, it's all mine. What are you telling about? So let's not murmur and complain, because God has a solution for every problem. So look at verse number 2 and 3. The 12 apostles, they summoned the disciples and said, verses 2 and 3, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So let us seek out 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we may appoint over this business. So here's a solution, wonderful solution. This was both spiritual and practical. Okay. So the apostle said, look, listen here. We are getting behind in our Bible study. We are getting behind in our sermon preparation. We are getting behind in our prayer life, in our soul winning, in the ministry of God's word. So let us get organized right now. So, you know, anything that is not organized, it is carnality. God loves everything in order. I will also tell you, everything God loves in order. And so even Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, let all things be done decently and in order. That is why, because there was disorder in the Corinthian church. So whenever you see the Holy Spirit start moving, there is order. And do you know the first time when the Holy Spirit start moving in the world? You go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. It was says that he was moving upon the deep and the darkness. There was disorder. And then God's word came out, let there be light. In the disorder, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. And he would turn the chaos into a cosmos that we saw today. And here, the Holy Spirit is the one who is moving forward in the church. First, there was a scriptural ministry. There's a practical ministry. What is a scriptural ministry? It is the word of God. It is the prayer. It is the ministering of the word. But also there is a practical ministry on the side. Nothing is less, let me tell you. Nobody should think standing behind a pulpit is something greater than working, cleaning up the bathroom in the back. It's all a ministry that God gives us. Not only for our from the pulpit in the church, but even our classrooms, in our workplaces, we are all serving the Lord. And this was a practical part of the ministry where you are feeding the widows. They needed a plan. So what was the requirement? Look at the requirement, verse number 3. They had a requirement. Don't get everybody to wait on tables. You know what they wanted? They had some requirement. Number 1, they should be having good reputation. You know, impeccable character. You know, the deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, deacons must be blameless. First thing is ministry, which is the Greek word called diakonia, which was the first deacons of the church. They said, select 7 people as deacons who will be doing the work. They have to be blameless. The second thing, the requirement for a deacon is, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you will say, oh, I agree, the preacher should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is good. But what about the song leader who is leading the worship from here? You also should be filled with the Holy Spirit. What about the musicians who are playing in the back end? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, all of us, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're working in your kitchen, when you are in the sound booth, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Worship is not for someone. It is for all of us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're doing anything for Jesus. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So whether you're vacuuming a floor or you're cleaning up the bathroom, you're preparing coffee for somebody, you're doing something on the side, make sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the requirement. I've heard about stories of, I don't know if it's true or not, people who are, on the stage and leading worship, they jump off and they have other issues going on in their life. That is not the way where God wants us. We have to be good reputation, good character, being filled with the Holy Spirit. The third thing is they also should be filled with wisdom. What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge from God's point of view. So knowledge will make you proud, but wisdom will make you humble. Everybody may not have knowledge, but everybody can have wisdom. This is a fact. Every one of you can have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, the Bible says you pray to God. Let me give you another verse. James chapter 1, verse number 8. Yaakov 1 5 8 9. If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all with liberally and without reproach. It shall be given to him. And let him ask in faith, not doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose he is going to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded. So what does the word of God tells us? We need to pray and ask to God by faith. Lord, give me wisdom. The wisdom is the ability to apply our knowledge in a particular circumstance. For example, you go to a funeral home. You don't sing, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. You don't sing like that. You sing songs that are acceptable for that. There is something called wisdom, brothers and sisters. We need to use wisdom and not just knowledge. You may have a lot of knowledge, but using wisdom is using the gifting of God in the right way, according to God's direction. And that is for serving the Lord. So three things, remember. One, impeccable character, good reputation. Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, have wisdom from God. If these three people are, they said, okay, I am somebody who is in the HR and we hire people every time. We have a list of, these are the things you should have. Here the Holy Spirit had these three things. You select people, they should, check mark on all these three places. And do you know that among them, two of the people that they chose, Stephen, he became the first martyr. He was a powerful man of the Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And also Philip, he was the first missionary who went to Samaria. Beyond Judea, he went cross-culturally to Samaria. And then he went to Africa. He became the first missionary that God used. These were the people that they used to wait on tables. Imagine that. So think about that. There is nothing too small for us to do. Don't think anything is small. We are not too big for anything. You are not too small to wait on tables. You are not too small to serve in a committee. You are not too small to haul some packages back and forth to help out in any group that needs. Brothers and sisters, whatever you can do, do it as unto the Lord. He will gift you. He will bless you. So there is one side of a spiritual part. Don't be always, saying, oh, that is not for me. This is more. No. Wherever God directs you, you should do. Where God assigns you. Lastly, my time is up, so I'm going to go very quickly. Final fact is, when there are God-given solutions, there is even greater growth. When God's solutions we accept, the growth will be greater. Look at verse 7, the last verse we read. It says, the word of the Lord spread and the number of disciples, now underline this, multiplied greatly. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Which means, number one, not only multiplied, They multiplied greatly. That's a word for an exponential multiplication. And also the priests, the Sadducees, they came to believe. You know, they were growing all the more faster. I want to give a word of counsel for those who are in distress. This is a word for you. Psalms 4 verse 1, it says, "You have enlarged me when I was in distress." Sometimes God, in your distress, He will enlarge you to see things in another light, and God will use you to become a multiplication factor. When you are in distress, God will stretch you. Every problem can be solved in the name of Jesus. When there is more problems, there is more power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we are, if you are a growing Christian, carry to the Lord. When you are in distress, God will cause you to grow. I don't have time, but let me tell you. Jesus said to those trees that bear fruit, "You shall prune it. They will bear more fruit." The pruning is the pain that you undergo in your life. And I'm telling you that we need to understand that we have to grow in the Lord. This morning, I want us all to think about that. Can we all just stand up on our feet for a moment as we are going to surrender our hearts? I don't know if you are going through a problem in your life this morning. I feel in the spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to tell you that in the midst of your problem, the Lord knows what you are going through. You know, He has never brought a problem, allowed a problem in anybody's life without giving a solution. You are going to see a miracle of God working in the midst of your problem. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the first thing they saw was a Red Sea. They could not cross. One side there was a Red Sea. The mountains were in both the left and the right. And the Pharaoh's army were chasing them. They were trapped in middle. They didn't know it was a problem. You know what happened? They cried out to the Lord. When they cried out, God made a way through the Red Sea. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands to the Lord and say, "Lord, in the midst of my problems, lift me up, Lord. Take me to a level that is higher than where I am today." Can you pray this to the Lord? "Lord, lift me up. Let me not stand in the same place that I have been standing." Sometimes when we are standing in the same place, God will allow difficulties in your life. Don't blame every difficulty to Satan. Let me tell you, God will allow some difficulty for us to grow. For us, the growing pains will allow things to bloom. There is a growth. I'm thinking about a moth that has to go through the pain to tear itself to become a butterfly that can fly up. You know, God allows the greater problems in your life is because God wants to use you that much greater. God has a greater plan for you. Can you just surrender yourself and say, "Lord, use me. Lord, lift me up, Father God. Where I'm standing, I don't want to stand anymore. I want to go to the next level, Father Lord, in my life, in my ministry. I want to hear the voice of God." Let me close up with this. This morning, the Lord spoke to us about the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip, one of the deacons, "Go to a lonely road." He obeyed the voice of God. Once he reached there, the Holy Spirit told him, "Go to the chariot and speak to the eunuch." God had prepared the eunuch to hear the message from the man of God. You know, if you are ready to hear the voice of God, if you are ready to grow in your spiritual life, I'm not talking about your material life. God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, about your job. Don't even worry. God has it in control. What you need to say, "Lord, how can I grow in my life spiritually? How can I serve you more? Lord, use me as a channel of blessing. Give me a passion, Father Lord, for your kingdom. Give me a burden for the souls who are dying around me every day, and those who are dying without knowing Christ. Do you know where they are ending? They are ending in utter darkness. They are ending in hell, while we keep our mouth quiet." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surrender your hearts to the Lord. Everyone, open your mouths and start worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, lift us up, Father. Lift us up to a higher ground. Make me stand on your promises. Help me to do greater things than I've been doing so far. I want to grow, Lord. I want to grow until the stature of Jesus Christ. I don't want it to be about humans, Lord. Human thinking, Lord, minds that are closed. I don't want it to be. I want my heart to be open. I want my ears to be open. I want to obey you, Father God. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Father, take me up and help me to be a channel of your blessing, Lord. Help me to be your mouthpiece among my friends and my colleagues and where I go, Lord. Take me in your hand and use me mightily, Father God. Lord, in this 2023, Lord, you have told me that I should be accountable of my time, my treasure, my talents. Let me use them, Father God. Let me not bury it under the ground, Lord. Because one day, Lord, we have to give an account before you. And at that day, let us not be ashamed, Father God. Hallelujah.